Good morning. It's so great to be here this morning. I don't know about you. How many of you have spent a summer at camp or been to summer camp before? One of the things at summer camp is the high ropes course. Who enjoys high ropes, that sort of thing? All right, so one of the different obstacles of the high ropes course at Camp Caroline is called the Leap of Faith. And as you can see in that picture, that is the Leap of Faith. It is essentially a 30-foot high pole. And all you do is you climb up the pole, you stand on top of the pole, and then you jump off the pole. That's the entire point of the Leap of Faith. It is as scary as it looks. What you don't see in the photo is that the pole is extremely wobbly. So the higher you get up off the ground, you feel the pole swaying. If it's a windy day, it's even worse. So I spent a couple summers at Camp Caroline, and my first summer there, I was one of the high ropes counselors, and so I was leading high ropes all summer long. And one of the first things that they did when we were training on high ropes is they taught us how safe all of this equipment is. They said, this rope can hold up to 2 tons. They said, this pulley can hold the weight of an elephant. They said all these things. These harnesses are made for people that weigh up to 600 pounds. All these different things. But you're not thinking about that when you're standing on top of that pole, right? It's not like I'm on top of that pole and I'm thinking, oh yeah, this is, you know, doing all this math in my head. Like, it doesn't matter. It's called the leap of faith because you actually have to take a step off to accomplish the obstacle. Faith is actually deciding that I'm going to trust all of these different systems that are in place and I'm actually going to take the jump, take the plunge. Do something scary. Do something that doesn't really make sense, but is a lot of fun. Faith isn't just believing that the rope will hold you. Faith is actually taking the step and jumping off the edge. I'm going to talk about faith this morning. When we talked about our words for 2021 back in December, the word that God had given me at that time was faith. And there's a lot going on behind the scenes that I couldn't share at that point. But today I'm able to share the entire story of what God has been doing in my family. And the reality is that God has called my family to a journey of faith. And this started all the way back last October, November, when I really started feeling like God was saying, I have something different for you and your family. He started really leading us to say, I want you to take a step of faith and leave McKernan. I love this church. You're my family. We love you. It's amazing. It's been such a healthy and great experience here. And so it didn't make sense. When I felt like God was saying, it's time. You need to leave. And I said, well, what's next, God? And there was nothing. There was nothing. But I really felt strongly that God was saying, it's time. You need to tell your dad that in 2021, you'll be leaving McKernan. And I didn't know what to do with that. But I really sought God, I really sought him, and I sought a lot of different voices and people that influenced me in positive ways, and I really did feel like 2021 was going to be a year of faith. I would have to take massive steps of faith and trust that God was leading, that he was good, that he was going to catch me. Hebrews 11, 1-3 is the quintessential passage about faith, I think, in the New Testament. Hebrews 11, 1-3 says this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that what was seen was not made out of things that are visible. In verse 6 it says this, without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So the Bible talks about faith as this assurance of things that you can't see. It's this trust that even though I can't see how God is going to move in this situation, even though I can't see exactly how things are going to work out, I can trust him. And again, faith isn't just believing that in your head. Again, when I'm standing on top of the high ropes course, the leap of faith, just thinking about believing this rope can hold me, that's not actually faith. Faith is taking that step and actually trusting that this rope is going to hold me. The word for faith used in the Greek is the word pistis. That word implies a strong confidence in, a reliance upon someone or something with the object of trust understood. And so faith actually assumes that the person that or the thing that you're putting your faith in is going to hold you, is going to catch you. Faith is as much about the subject of your faith, the object of your faith, So when we say we believe in God, we put our faith in Him, and when we step out in trust, we are exercising faith. Because it's also possible to put our faith in the wrong things. Another kind of humorous story that I have from my time of high ropes training is one of the things that they were teaching us was it's really important to have a backup belayer. And so the person who's holding the rope is called the belayer. And so how it works is they're anchored in to the ground, and someone's behind them holding the extra slack on the rope. And I was up on the course, and I was goofing around, and we were having a lot of fun. But the person who was belaying me was way smaller than me. Like, she was probably 80 or 90 pounds smaller than me at the time. And the guy wanted to show us that it's okay, you can trust a smaller belayer when there's a backup belayer. The problem was that my backup belayer wasn't paying attention, and so I fell off the course, and literally, you'd picture, I went down, and she went up. Nobody got hurt. It was actually pretty funny. But the reality is, because there wasn't anyone holding on, and so my faith was misplaced. And so we can put our faith in the wrong things. But this morning, I want to invite us to put our faith in God, in His truth, in the reality of who He is, and take steps of obedience in following Him. Jesus taught a lot about faith. In Matthew 17, he said to them, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as this mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." In Matthew 8, there's a story where Jesus got into the boat and the disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the storm, and it was completely calm. We saw the story of Peter earlier in the children's video, where Peter, in faith, stepped out on the water, but then in fear, he looked away from God. But he still had the faith to step out. That's what I love about that story. The Apostle Paul writes a lot about faith. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, he says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." In Romans 10:17, Paul writes that faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard through the word about Christ. There's also, I did a lot of reading on faith as I was preparing for the sermon, and there's some pretty awesome quotes that I want to read for you. The first one is that faith is total dependence upon God that becomes supernatural in its working. People with faith develop a second kind of sight. They see more than just the circumstances. They see God right beside them. That's from Jim Cimbala. Bob Goff says, "Faith is what you do about what you believe." That's good. It's simple. I like it. And then C.S. Lewis says that faith, in the sense that I'm using the word here, is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. Another great definition of faith. And so there's a lot of information here. I know I've said a lot already, but what I wanted to do is kind of like give a blitz on faith as a word, and then what we're going to do is look at how it impacts our lives. Because we all practice faith. You all have faith in the pew you're sitting in, that it's going to hold you. We have faith in the airline pilot when we get on a plane. We all continually practice faith. But how does our faith look in the God who is good, the God who is unchanging, the God who never once has allowed us to walk alone? What I want to talk about today is simple. It's that the scriptures invite us to look with eyes of faith by believing God for the impossible and following Jesus in a radical way. So the first thing I want to look at today is looking at our circumstances with eyes of faith. There's this crazy story in the Old Testament where God has promised His people Israel that He's going to give them the land of their own. He's going to give them a land that they say the promise is flowing with milk and honey. It's a land of riches, a land of wealth, a land that would be their own. And so they're about to enter into this land. And so the leader, Moses, sends spies into the land to go and check it out. We pick up the story in Numbers 13. It says this: "The Lord said to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them.'" And so what happens is these spies go out to Canaan. They go and they look and they see these different people there. I'll actually just read it from Numbers 13, verse 27 and 28. It says, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides this, we saw the descendants of Anak there." These would be like giants, people like Goliath's descendants. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negeb." And so these people, they went into Canaan and they saw this army. They saw these people that was way beyond what they thought they could handle. And so they were afraid. 10 of the spies were afraid and 2 had faith. In verse 30, we pick it up. It says, "Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy the land, for we are well able to overcome it.' Then the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against them, for they are stronger than we are.' So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to spy it out, a land which devours its inhabitants, and the people that we saw in it are of great height.'" And so you had these 12 spies. You had 10 of them that said, "We can't do this, we can't do this." You had 2 of them who said, "We can." They saw with eyes of faith. And what happened is, because of the report of the 10 spies, Israel decided they were not going to go into the promised land. They chose to live in fear and not in faith. Graham Cook has this amazing quote about this. He says, "Fear leads to rebellion. Faith, however, leads to occupying the promises that God has given us. 10 spies denied an entire nation access to the fulfillment of the prophecy. Only 2 men from an entire generation inherited it. Those terrified, soulish spies stole the dreams of those people because they lived in fear and not in faith." And so we need to look at our circumstances with eyes of faith. When we're faced with things that don't make sense, when we're faced with decisions that we need to make, when we're faced with different things in our life that are causing us to doubt or questions, we need to ask God to give us eyes of faith to see these things. Again, Hebrews 11:1 is, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Faith is believing that no matter how difficult or no matter how huge the issues that we're facing are, we can trust that God is bigger. We can trust that God is going to hold us, that he's going to keep us, that he is going to lead us. Now, we don't just muster up faith in a moment. Faith is something that is built in us through seasons and times. It's not like I can face a circumstance and just be like, "Oh, I'm going to have more faith. I'm going to have more faith." No, faith is something that God produces in us. And so I want to just give us a few ways that I believe we can see our circumstances with eyes of faith. The first thing is that bold faith remembers and meditates on God. One of the things that I did in 2021 is I read the entire Bible in a really short period of time, just to get a whole picture of the whole story. And one of the things that really stood out to me as I was reading through the Old Testament it's pretty cool, but do you know what the most consistent command that I saw throughout the Old Testament was? It's remember. Over and over and over and over again, God would say to his people, or others would say, "Remember, remember that God set you free from slavery. Remember your God who is good, who is great. Remember he who delivers you." And so, yeah, like I said, as I was reading through the Old Testament, just over and over again, I would see that command, remember, remember, remember. And it made me think, how often do I forget about how God has been faithful in my life? How easy is it for me to face a difficult circumstance and live in fear because I've forgotten how God has come through in that way before? The reality is, when we remember, when we take time to worship, when we take time to even write down ways that God has answered prayer, ways that he's come through, this actually helps build and stir up faith inside of us. Bold faith remembers. Another way that we see with eyes of faith, I believe, is through speaking and singing the truth. I'm so happy that today is a day that we were able to start singing in here again, because I believe that singing is an absolutely vital aspect of our walk with God. It's throughout the whole Bible you see sing, 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 sing. God commands his people to sing. He encourages us to sing. Because what happens when we sing, when we proclaim the truth of God with our mouths, with our lips, I believe that faith is stirred up inside of us. We just sang that song, "Never Once," and some of us might be going through a really difficult season, But as we sing that song and declare that truth, even in the midst of that season, we're reminding ourselves that God has been with us all along. And it can actually change our disposition. It can change our focus. It can help us to take our eyes off of everything else and keep our eyes fixed on God. There's an awesome song that someone at International House of Prayer wrote, and just a simple line she sings is, "Sometimes you gotta sing your way into the truth." I love that, because I think sometimes it's so easy for us to forget, but singing, you know what's so cool about songs? You're probably not gonna remember a lot of what I preach, but all the songs we sang are gonna be stuck in your head this afternoon. I've noticed this when I'm feeling anxiety, when I'm feeling fear, if I just turn on worship music and start engaging with it, those things just lift off. Bold faith sings. Another thing is bold faith waits. We anticipate how God may move. And we also allow ourselves to live in the tension when we're waiting. It's easy for us to just wish that God would always work on our terms. But that's not always how God works. And the crazy thing is, when we wait for God, when we say, I'm going to put my trust in him no matter how these circumstances are, no matter how long it takes to get through these circumstances, when we choose to trust him, what we see is his answer was way better than what we could have hoped for anyways. Bold faith waits. We lean in anticipation of how God is going to move. Another thing, this one's extremely important, is bold faith grows when it is sown into. And what I mean by that is when you plant, we just did a bunch of, we've done a little bit of gardening, we've done a little bit of that this spring, and the seeds that we sow, we're hoping, we can believe, and we know that those are the ones that are going to grow. So when we planted the beans and the carrots, that's what's going to come up, right? We sow, and that's what is reaped. And faith is actually similar. When we sow the truth of God into our life, when we sow the truth of God into our life, when we engage with his word, and when we go deep with him in prayer and in what we listen to, in the content that we engage with online, when we sow into faith, that's what's produced in us. When we sow into truth, that's what's produced in us. And on the other side, when we sow into fear, that's what's produced in us. And so if we're spending all of our days scrolling through social media and seeing things that are fearful, seeing things that cause us to feel overwhelmed or fearful, then fear is going to grow, not faith. And so I want to invite you in this season to sow into faith. It really matters what kind of media we consume. If we're constantly consuming media that degrades other people, if we're constantly sowing into media that doesn't point us to the truth and reality of Jesus, then the fruit of that is going to be that our faith is not going to be in the right things, and we're going to live in fear, not faith. Next, bold faith prays. Prayer is so important, and it's so vital to living a life of faith. Prayer is keeping our connection with our God, constantly staying in connection with him through prayer. We can't live a life of faith disconnected from him. John 15, Jesus says, "Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." You can do nothing apart from him. And so prayer is keeping our connection to him. The other thing that I've realized in my whole journey is praying for, yes, we pray for the things that we want. Like if you're going through a difficult time, it's okay for you to pray that God would lead you out of that time. If someone's sick, it's okay for you to pray for healing. It's okay for you to pray for the thing that you want and desire. I think God wants us to talk to him like that. And that type of prayer, sometimes we see it answered the way we expect, and sometimes we don't. But I think God cares more about our hearts before him in those moments. Bold faith prays. And finally, bold faith is humble. Bold faith takes a posture of humility, and the reality is when we are living with faith, we're saying, "I am not God, he is God, I am God." And so the way that I live my life is going to be in line with what he's inviting me into. If we live with pride, thinking that we're above God or thinking that it's all about us, then that's not going to sow faith in us. That's not how we can see with eyes of faith. And so I think the first thing that I wanted to talk about is that we are invited to see our circumstances with eyes of faith. And that's been something that God's been really working on me in this last season. And like I said, it was back in November or October when I told my dad that I felt like God was leading me away from McKernan. And I didn't have any idea what was next. I didn't have any clue how God would be leading us. I just knew that he was doing something different. And I told him that, and what do you think my dad's first question was? What do you have next? What's next? And I think it was a totally fair question. But I said to him, I don't know yet. But I said, I'm so strongly feeling this is God's leading that I need to take the step either way. And the crazy thing that happened is the first day that I came back from my stress leave, after I told my dad this, I found out we were having a meeting as staff. And the whole point of this meeting was to talk about where we see ourselves long-term at McKernan. And I remember saying, I had to call my dad and Pastor Dan that day, and I said, you know, this is how God's leading me, and I think I'm going to tell the staff. And that was one of the hardest things I've ever done. Because at that point, I literally had no idea what was next. It was totally obedience. But to give a little bit of context, about 10 years ago, right when Kirsten and I got married, I was on staff at the House of Prayer Edmonton. And part of my job there was raising support. Like, I lived entirely based on support. And so every penny that we had in our bank account was because people were generous to partner with us at that time. And in that season, it was crazy how God came through. So when I talked about remembering earlier, I had to do a lot of remembering earlier this year. Because in that season, there were some months where we had pre-written our rent checks. And there was not enough money in our bank account to pay that rent. Like, we just didn't have it in our account. And so God would do miracles where we'd get home and there would be a check in our mailbox without even asking anyone. I don't know if you all remember when we had church mailboxes before, but there were times where on a Sunday morning, 2 days before rent was due, we'd go to the mailbox and there would be check or cash, like envelopes filled with cash just in our mailbox without any asking, without any other than praying. God would come through and he always provided for us. We never came short on rent. We always had enough. And the other crazy thing is, like, whenever we'd have a car breakdown, somebody else would be getting rid of a car. Like, there's just all these crazy miracles happening. And so in this season of deciding how God was going to lead us as a family, I had to remember, God's come through before. He's got us. I don't have to worry. We can step out in faith. He's going to catch us. And that's only one of, like, many significant miracles of how God's provided for our family. And so in this season, as God was inviting us to take the step of faith, Kirsten and I had to remember often, he's been here before. We can trust him. He is good. Because the second reality of bold faith is that bold faith believes God for the impossible. Bold faith, the reality is that when we live our lives in such a way that it doesn't make any sense without God, then we know we're living by faith. And I might get a little more controversial here, but the question that I want us to think through is, what kind of risks or what kind of ways am I living my life that would go completely awry or would be a complete disaster without God's intervention? Because Jesus said that faith like a mustard seed can move mountains. So there's three little stories of faith in Jesus's or in the Gospel of Mark that are really cool. And I just want to share them with you really quickly here. And this is from Mark chapter 2. The first one. This is where Jesus is teaching at somebody's house. The house is packed. And all of a sudden there's a commotion. The roof starts falling in because there's these guys on the roof breaking the roof. And they lower a friend down on a bed through the roof. This guy is sick. And I'll pick up in Mark chapter 2, verse 4. It says, when they could not get near him, Jesus, because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. They made an opening, and they lay the paralytic down on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And then it goes on to, I don't have too much time to get into the story, but Jesus heals this sick person because of the faith of his friends. I think that's such a cool story, right? These friends break through the roof because they can't get to Jesus, but they have so much faith that they're willing to do something crazy to see their friend get healed. The second story is in Mark chapter 5. This one's, I really like this one. Jesus is he's on his way to heal the daughter of somebody who's a big deal, kind of like a a guy named Jairus, his daughter. So this guy is like looked up to by all the people, and Jesus is going to go heal his daughter. But on the way to this guy's house, what happens is, from Mark 5:24, it says Jesus went with him. A great crowd followed Jesus, and they gathered about him. So like, it was just a huge kind of crowd. Everyone's gathered around Jesus. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who suffered much under many physicians and spent all that she had. But she was no better. Rather, she grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus. She came up behind him, and she touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garment, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up. It goes on in verse 34. Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease." These two stories, it was the faith that released and the healing happened because of the faith of the people. There's a final story in Mark chapter 6. This one's not as positive. But it says this: Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown. His disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. It goes on to say in verse 3, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and his household." And this is what scares me. This verse actually scares me. Mark 6, verse 5, it says this: Jesus could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So he still could do something, I guess. He marveled because of their lack of faith. And so the lack of faith of the people in that town actually stopped Jesus from being able to do miracles. And so what I want to ask us is, what does it look like for us to reach out and touch Jesus' robe in this season? What does it look like for us to break open a roof and believe that God, to do something that might look not make sense, it might look a little different, but actually take a step of faith? I'm not trying to guilt anyone. I'm just saying, just think about it. What does it look like for you to reach out in this season and touch the hem of Jesus' robe? Because I don't want our lack of faith to limit or hinder what God might want to do in and through us. What impossible things are we believing God for? And again, Jesus taught in Matthew 17, he said, faith like a mustard seed moves mountains. So that doesn't mean that it's like if you have to do something crazy or big all the time. For the lady who touched Jesus' robe, it was just a reach. The guys who broke in the roof, it was pretty crazy. But Jesus said, faith like a mustard seed moves mountains. That means it's not about the measure of our faith. It's about what our faith is in. And it's about our obedience to step out and submit to him. And so we believe God for the impossible. And like I said, there's been a lot of that in my own walk. And it's cool because I'm going to give a little bit of an update now too. It's pretty exciting, but what ended up happening is, for those of you who've heard of this ministry, there's a ministry in the city called Resurgence. Resurgence is a multi-denominational, it is a multi-generational ministry. It is a ministry that seeks to bring churches together in nights of worship and prayer. It's a ministry that seeks to connect pastors in the city, and we believe that we can do more in the city if we do it together. And I've been a part of Resurgence for years. I've been encouraging people at McKernan to plug into Resurgence because I really believe the mission and the vision of it. And I had kind of wondered when I was starting to transition, after I decided I needed to leave McKernan and that was the step of faith that I was going to take, I kind of believed this might have been where God was leading me. And it actually started last February. I was driving to Camp Caroline, actually. Man, it feels like a long time ago when I was at camp. And my friend called me, and he said, "Hey, Donovan," he said, "God laid me on my heart, I'm not sure why, but I need to pray for you. God's got something special for you." And I kid you not, 10 minutes after my friend called me, Travis, the head of Resurgence, called me, and he asked me to be involved in the leadership team at Resurgence. And it was one of those, like, whoa, God's timing. Interesting. And so since then, I've been involved more. I've been getting more plugged in there. And I'd asked Resurgence, might there be a job here? Like, I know that it's going to be a big faith step for me if they step for you. And the crazy thing is, and again, I can't make this up, the morning that my dad called to say, we're submitting the resignation tonight, like, this is it. I said, yeah, I believe this is where God's leading. He called me on a Wednesday morning. Wednesday afternoon, Travis called. He said, hey, the Resurgence board met on Saturday. They want to put together a job offer for you. I kid you not. God's timing. And so last night it was announced that in September I'll be working with Resurgence in the fall, which I'm really excited about because it's a parachurch ministry, so it allows us to still be around. There's going to be a lot I believe God has for the city. I love the city. I love what he's doing in the city. And so it's cool because God, and this is, the job description is kind of like a dream for me. Like, it'll be a lot of fun. And so it's cool because he's already provided a next step for us as our family. And it took a lot of steps. It took a lot of questions. But it was cool how quickly God revealed his next steps through this whole process. And so the first, we see our circumstances with eyes of faith. We believe that God will work in the impossible. And the final thing is that we follow Jesus in a radical way. And I don't mean radical as in like always doing crazy things. I mean radical as in simple obedience to him. Because I'm not going to lie to you, simple obedience to him in this day and age is pretty radical. James 2:17 says this. James 2:17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. And so faith is expressed in the obedience that we take. Faith is expressed in believing that if God is calling me, if God is leading me, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do what he says no matter what, no matter how it looks, no matter what people try to say, no matter if it doesn't make any sense, I'm going to believe that he's leading. I'm going to believe that no matter how hard my circumstances are, he is there with me. I'm going to believe that no matter how long this pandemic is going on, I can trust him. He's still at work. He is still good. Faith is simple obedience. Faith is believing that that he is faithful. And again, the word faithful has the word faith in it. Faithfulness on our part, as in being faithful to how God has called us, who he is calling us to be, is an element of our faith. I don't have too much time to get into to this, but the story that I think really inspires me in this area is the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. We see this guy named Joseph. He's the youngest of 12 brothers. He's the second youngest. But he's the dad's favorite. The dad loves him. His brothers hate him. Hate him. And Joseph, in his arrogance, he receives a dream from God. And this dream is that one day Joseph's brothers and father and mother would kneel before him. And so again, in his arrogance, Joseph shares that dream with his family. And what do they do about it? His brothers leave him for dead. They throw him in a well. And they leave him for dead. They tell his parents that he's dead. Now, here's the thing about Joseph. What we see as the story picks up is that Joseph remains faithful to God no matter what, and he believes that dream that God gave him is going to become a reality no matter what. And so what happens is Joseph is sold into slavery, but he's the best slave there. And so he gets promoted, and he gets promoted again. And then all of a sudden he ends up in an Egyptian ruler's house, and he becomes the head of the household. And what happens? The head of the household's wife wants to sleep with him. I think it would have been really easy for Joseph to think, oh, I deserve this. I deserve this. I've been good, but life has been bad. God is so far off. But no, Joseph remains obedient to God. And because of Joseph's obedience, he's thrown into prison. He decides not to sleep with Potiphar's wife, and she lies about it, and he goes to prison. But what happens again? In prison, he's promoted, and he's promoted because he's such a person of character and integrity. And he's so sure of the promises of God that he's not going to compromise in simple obedience to him. And so what ends up happening is Joseph gets released from prison because it's heard that Joseph can interpret dreams. And really quickly, Joseph ends up becoming second in command in Egypt. And there's a story where his brothers come to him because they need food. I know I'm really telling you the story in a very condensed way, but we see this in verse or in Genesis 30, 39, verses 3 to 4. Or that's a Potiphar. Sorry. I am in the wrong place. We see this when Joseph's brothers go back to Egypt. And Joseph's brothers are before him, and they're repenting to him. They're saying, sorry that we sold you into slavery. We're sorry that we did all this. But Joseph said, you know what? What you meant for evil, God has turned for good. And he stayed obedient to God that whole time. The dream that God gave him when he was young is the dream that God had on him all the time. He had faith the entire time that God was going to live, or God was going to reveal this dream, or this dream was going to become a reality. Joseph had that faith. And what did he do about it? He stayed obedient to God, even when circumstances looked like they were going to be so far from what he was leading him to. And so I want to encourage us, when God is calling us in the ways that he's leading us, to lean in and lean in with obedience, to trust him, to know that no matter how difficult our circumstances seem, he's still inviting us to be obedient. He's still inviting us to follow his leadership. One of the things, this is another, this was another aspect of this story that was really interesting for me. And I believe that God still speaks today. I believe that he speaks through people. I believe that there is a gift of prophecy. And there was somebody speaking at a church that I was attending while we were on, while I was on my stress leave. And I was pretty sure, this was before I had talked to my dad, this was before I had made any formal decision. And I remember this person started praying for people. And I started thinking, oh, I hope that he comes and prophesies over me. But I felt the Lord say, you don't need him to tell you what to do. You already know what you need to do. And it was this really profound moment for me because I realized that so we can oftentimes look so much for confirmation that we miss out on the obedience. Sometimes the last thing we need is another prophetic word or another reminder. We just need to do what he's told us to do, what he's asked us to do, and take the steps of faith to see those things come into fulfillment. Again, what we looked at today is that we see our circumstances with eyes of faith. We believe God for the impossible, and we act out in obedience in the meantime. That's the invitation that I have for us today. And we had a shorter time of worship at the beginning because I wanted to do a couple songs here at the end. And what I want to encourage you to do while we're singing is just really declare, first off, just really declare the words that we're singing. We're singing songs that speak of God's faithfulness, speak of how good he is. And so you might be in a season where these words, they may not be exactly what you believe to be true, but they are. And so I want to encourage you, if you're in that season where I'm like, I'm not sure I can agree with this, just ask God to give you the faith to declare and proclaim the truth that we're about to sing. And I believe that faith may stir up in some of us. Others of us might be in a transition. Others of us might be in a period where we're believing God for something that we haven't seen come to pass yet. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to take some time as we sing to just be praying that God would be doing what only he can do in that circumstance. Some of you may be knowing that there's a decision that you need to make, that God is leading you to make. And I would encourage you, if that's you, to really lean into that and say, God, give me the courage to step out in faith. Because I believe that when we do that, God does amazing things. He does amazing things. And so, worship team, you guys can come up now. I want to encourage you to stand right now. And I'm going to pray for you, and then we'll sing these songs. And we're going to be available for prayer after, myself and Pastor Dan. If you need prayer afterwards, please come find us. We'd love to pray for you. And if God is inviting you to some step of faith, I want to encourage you to tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about it after today's service. And say, you know what? I feel like God's inviting me to do this. It's really scary. It might be as simple as like inviting your neighbor over for dinner when it's allowed. It might be as simple as that. It might be as complex as leaving your job or looking for a new job. Whatever it is, just tell somebody about it. This is a step of faith that God may be inviting me into. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that you always come through. God, when we read your word, we're reading the truth. We're reading the reality of who you are. And God, I thank you that the same words that were true when this book was written is true today. And so, Lord, I pray that in our life, Lord God, we would be a walking testimony of how you are faithful. When we take steps of faith, God, you are faithful to come through. So I pray you would stir up faith in us, stir up belief in us. Thank you for how you provide. Thank you for how good you are. Lord, I pray that no matter what we're facing, be it difficulty, be it joy, be it a decision, a transition, Lord, let our response, let our activity be of faith and not of fear. We love you, God. You're so good. You're so good. So Lord, we pray that you would have your way in our lives. We want to see things like healing. We want to see things like provision. We want to see things like where our lives don't make sense apart from you. And so God, fill us with your spirit that we would walk out what you're inviting us to walk out. We love you. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.